Idaho is state number 44 in our State of the Union series, and joining us now to discuss what matters to voters in the Gem State is Dan Popke, a columnist for the Idaho Statesman. I'm pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Good to be with you.
Idaho is one of the most Republican states in the country. President Bush won it by almost 40 points in both 2000 and 2004. Was that because he was a particularly attractive candidate to Idaho voters or because of party identification?
Oh, both, I think. I mean, this is by several measures, the most Republican state in the country. We have the most Republican legislature and have had for some time. Every member of the congressional delegation is Republican. All seven statewide officers are Republican. So it very much helps to have an R after your name here. But, you know, President Bush had been quite popular here. That has changed. I believe there is a recent poll that for the first time in the last several months showed that his popularity dropped below 50% here. But it took us a lot longer to get to that point.
Well, considering how much lower his poll numbers are in the rest of the country, that's pretty strong. So I'm assuming John McCain can count on winning Idaho's four electoral votes in November.
I think yes. I would put it near the top of the list for him.
Now, how has this come to be? In 2006, a year when Democrats made gains across the country, and especially in all of your neighbors, Idaho Republicans swept all seven statewide offices and maintained their large majorities in both the houses and the state legislature.
The Democrats did pick up, I think, was a net of six seats in the legislature. So there was some retreat, but that's typical in gubernatorial elections years. Republicans do they get a bump in presidential years here.
But the rest of the mountain states have pretty much swung over to the Democrats, haven't they? It's been pointed out that you can go from the Canadian border to the Mexican border without ever going into a state that has a Republican governor.
Yeah, I mean, obviously things have changed in Montana and Colorado, and you know are changing in other states around us, and we're just a throwback. It will be very interesting to see in the upcoming congressional elections. There are two closely contested races here. The closest of them is the first congressional district, where we have a very controversial sophomore congressman, Republican, who, for example, yesterday sent a letter to Ben Bernanke and Henry Paulson saying, Secretary Paulson saying, don't bail out anybody else. It's socialism. Now, he is facing Walt Minnick, who's a former CEO and a moderate Democrat, styling himself that way anyway. And he is. He's actually a former Republican, worked in the Nixon White House. And that race if we're going to move in the direction of Montana and Colorado, that race will be the test of it. There's also a reasonably closely contested Senate race for the open Larry Craig seat between Jim Risch, who's the sitting Republican lieutenant governor, and Larry LaRocca, who is a former congressman who lost in 1994 in the Gingrich Revolution.
Now, often when there is a scandal like the Larry Craig scandal, the candidate for the opposition party is almost a shoo-in, but that's not the case here. Your paper, the Idaho Statesman, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize this year for your coverage of the scandal involving Larry Craig. What has been the reaction in Idaho?
You mean the politics of it?
Yeah. First of all, the reaction to the coverage that you did, and you were part of. You were a major part of that coverage, weren't
you?
Yeah,
I guess you'd say that I was the lead reporter on it for a very long time. It was mixed. I mean, I think there were and there remain people who are loyal to the senator and think that we engaged in a witch hunt. I think that's a fairly small cohort, but it's out there. Most people, I think, are just sick and tired of the story, and they wish that he weren't appealing his guilty plea, attempting to get the Minnesota appellate courts to allow him to withdraw his guilty plea. And just today, we got news that he's opened a fund for justice, I believe it's called, to solicit contributions to his legal defense fund. He had been spending campaign finance money, you know, extra campaign contributions, and the ethics committee told him to stop. So people are just really exhausted by the Craig story. They're tired of being made fun of. But that does not translate into support necessarily for Democrats.
Now, was what he did in Congress appreciated? He was a member of the Appropriations Committee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming he was able to secure a lot of money for Idaho from that position. But why did he push to establish the nuclear waste repository in Yucca Mountain in Nevada?
Because there's a national laboratory here that has a lot of nuclear waste.
So he hoped to put it into Nevada rather than in Idaho?
Yes.
You know, let's make this waste and ship it to a neighboring state?
Yes, and also he has been a longtime supporter of nuclear power, commercial nuclear power, not just the government's operation here. Of course, in order to clear the way for economically feasible, viable private utilities to construct plants, you got to have a place to put the waste. So that's been also behind his support of that. The Idaho waste. Most of it is going to New Mexico anyway, to the waste isolation pilot plant.
Governor Butch Otter is pro-gun, and guns seem to be a big issue in Idaho. A recent Democratic candidate made a point of owning 24 guns. Why are guns such a big part of the culture? Is this a holdover from the state settlement?
It's a Western state where people, whether they hunt or not, they and many of them do. This is a Charlton Heston state. You're going to pry it from my cold, dead hand kind of place. And I don't know if it's a holdover from, you know, territorial days, but Frank Church, who was quite liberal on foreign and social policy and served 24 years in the Senate, ran for president, was as vociferous about gun rights as the most conservative Republican.
Frank Church is quite a far cry from what we're seeing in Idaho today.
Yes.
Is Sarah Palin a particularly attractive vice presidential choice because of her connection to guns, you think?
I think that helps, but there's another wrinkle here. She is a native of Idaho, although she'd left when she was an infant. She was born in Sandpoint, up in North Idaho, and she is a graduate of the University of Idaho. So there's a kind of native daughter thing going on, even though very few people remember much about her, even from her university days. But the other thing, just like in other parts of the country, conservatives are delighted with her selection, and so they were skeptical about McCain. A lot of people thought Romney would have been the best choice, but Palin was a pretty good second choice.
Now, there's some of the other issues that she's been connected with: religion, opposition to abortions, opposition to stem cell research. Do they all appeal to a lot of voters in Idaho?
Well, they appeal to the conservative base that has recently won a power struggle in the Republican Party. Now, you know, about 40% of Idahoans identify themselves as Republicans. It's almost 30% call themselves independents, and the Democrats, I think, are about 27. And they've been rising a little bit in the last few years, the Democrats have. So there are two wings of the Republican Party here. There's a moderate wing and there's a conservative wing, or, you know, right wing, if you will. And she is very popular among the true believers who care about social issues and guns and so forth.
My guest is Dan Popke, a columnist for the Idaho Statesman. We're talking about Idaho, today's States of the Union. 62% of the land in Idaho is publicly owned. Is land management a major issue in the state?
Oh, yes. Land management and water.
Is that why the Clinton administration is so unpopular in Idaho?
Yes. It was a very significant factor, was what folks like Senator Craig like to call the war on the West. And this, people don't have a lot of sympathy for federal bureaucrats telling them what to do with land that they use to feed their cows and hunt on and fish on and so forth. So that does very much contribute to the mindset here.
And that links you to Alaska, doesn't it? Because that's another state where that's a big issue.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I should say that it's not, the sort of caricature that Idaho is often made into really doesn't apply here. This is the one state that has implemented a roadless plan, which spun out from the Clinton roadless rule that has been argued about in the courts on and on. We, on the ground, made compromises here. And the one roadless rule in place now is Idaho's, and that had to do with the 9 million acres of roadless lands here, and it's been worked out.
Now, did Hillary Clinton, was she hurt in the caucuses in February because of the connection to the Clinton administration, or was there support for Barack Obama in Idaho?
Oh, this was oddly enough his best state. He got 80% of the delegates here, the fallout from the memory of Bill Clinton contributed to Barack Obama's popularity here.
Is Governor Butch Otter more of a libertarian than a Republican? I get the sense that at times maybe the whole state has a libertarian cast to it. I'm thinking about groups like the Aryan Nations being able to set up shop in Idaho because they know they'll be left alone.
Well, let me first correct that. There's part of the caricature. The Aryan Nations no longer operates in Idaho. A jury issued a judgment against them several years ago. The compound was sold at auction. It is now a human rights memorial. They're gone, and there were about two dozen of them. But no, they were not welcomed here. But there is, so set aside the caricature there. Yes, it is a libertarian thinking is popular here, and the governor has a very strong libertarian cant. But at the same time, he is out there campaigning to raise fuel taxes and registration fees because we have a significant, multi-hundred million dollar backlog on roads and bridges, and he says we got to fix them.
He has also. What is immigration? What is the feeling about immigration in Idaho?
People are hostile to illegal immigration. They don't want to see their taxes paying health care for illegal immigrants. They're worried about illegal immigrants' children in their schools and so forth, like most places. But there was a candidate in the congressional race that I spoke about earlier. In the primary 2 years ago, who ran, he happens to be Mexican-American, who ran as a very strong illegal immigration candidate. And, he was the foe of it. He had been a county commissioner and had sued the federal government and the Mexican government and sued the some large employers in his county, saying that they were guilty of racketeering in the hiring of illegals. That case has not gone anywhere. But this guy was about as fire-breathing on the issue as you got, and he didn't win, although he did finish second to Bill Sally, the now incumbent congressman. So it's there, but I think Vasquez, his name's Robert Vasquez, got, something around 22% of the vote.
Are some of the other issues that matter in the rest of the country important in Idaho? For example, a lot of people are concerned about the economy and the way the economy has been handled. There's the war isn't as much in the news as it was in the past, but that was a big issue earlier in the campaign, maybe again. The environment has been a big issue in some states. What about Idaho?
All these things. I mean, we're part of the country. We care about those issues too. I would say that the war was, as it was in the rest of the country, the top issue for a time. But now people are very nervous about the economy. We have been among the fastest growing states over the last decade or more. And that stopped, and people are nervous about it. And the, although the housing crisis has not been as bad here as it has been elsewhere, a lot of people have lost their homes.
It's interesting to note that Butch Otter, when he was in Congress, is one of three Republicans to vote against the USA Patriot Act. Why did he do that?
Well, go back to your question about libertarianism. He just thought the government was overreaching, and he believes very strongly in individual rights, and he thought the Patriot Act went too far. He did, I believe, vote for the second iteration of it, so he opposed the first time around. I hope I'm right about that, that he supported it once it was amended. And I'll tell you, that sold well here. We had a prosecution of a Saudi Arabian national who was a student at the University of Idaho, and he was accused of engaging in terrorism, raising money for terrorist organizations. He was acquitted by a federal jury here in Boise. And I think that speaks to the skepticism about an overreaching federal government that's really very much part of the fabric of, Idaho political character.
Thank you so much for talking to us today about Idaho. I do want to ask you another question.
Okay.
You wrote earlier this week that the economic downturn is putting some Idaho road projects at risk. Why was the Garvey project so hard to fund in the first place?
Well, just for your listeners, Garvey is a program that's sort of betting on the come that the feds are going to keep supplying federal fuel tax revenues to your state at the same level that they have or higher levels. And a lot of states have done this. Idaho had a big fight about it. The governor, then Governor Kemp Thorne, now Interior Secretary Kemp Thorne, fought hard for this in 2005. He finally got it. He had to veto a bunch of bills to get the legislature to come to the table with him. But there was resistance to it because people were not convinced that federal revenue would continue on over the 30 years it would take to pay off this debt and build these roads. And as it's turned out, that skepticism was well-founded. So they have just the Transportation Board voted on Wednesday to scale back the request by more than half for the next bond issue. So there is a pay-as-you-go philosophy here, and of course state government has to constitutionally balance its budget, but this was a way around that because you were incurring debt and betting that the feds would pay it off.
Just one more thing. Idaho produces a third of the nation's potatoes, but at the same time, 60% of the state's population lives in just five counties. So is Idaho still an agricultural state, or is it becoming more and more an urbanized state?
It is becoming a more and more urbanized state, but agriculture is still hugely important. We're the number three dairy state now. We grow a lot of grain. And ag is remains the vital economic engine in most of the land area of Idaho. But the cities are growing because it's a nice place to live. Don't tell anybody in New York, okay?
Okay, we won't. We don't want to have too many people in Idaho.
That's right.
Dan Popke is a reporter and a columnist for the Idaho Statesman. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.